All right. Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer. And you can sit close to the front if you like, because later we'll pray together. Father God, we just offer you this morning. It was a really crazy night last night, Lord. And despite that, Lord, you know, we know that you are sovereign and you're in control, and Hong Kong is in your hands, God. And so this morning, we just still want to just fix our eyes upon you, fix our eyes upon your word, fix our eyes on just the hope that you have given us, Lord. And would you come and just speak to us, Lord? We need to hear from you, Lord. And yeah, you know, your word says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, Lord. And we really need your word to be our sustenance this morning. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you would turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Well, way up front. Okay, Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned them new names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them Out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Amen. That was long, but it was good. Okay, so we start this chapter, and Jehoiakim, king of Judah, has just been overtaken by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Why did they attack Babylon? Why did they attack Judah? Well, it's because King Jehoiakim was actually appointed by Egypt. And Egypt had been just attacked, had just attacked Babylon. So as a result, this is kind of a response by Babylon, and they basically took over Judah. And as a result of this, King Nebuchadnezzar, he actually went into, like, it was a full ransack, right? It says they took even the treasures inside the house of God, right? And they took them, and he took it to his own temple, and he put them there. And it was kind of to establish, oh, even like, my God is even more powerful than your God, right? Now that even your treasures that you value so are now under my God's house, right? And the king ordered Ashpenaz, this is verse 3, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family, of the nobles. And basically he took, you could say he abducted or took hostage the best of the best that, you know, Judah had to offer, right? It says the best looking, I presume, when it says youths whom was no defect. It says good looking, showing intelligence in every branch, wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning intelligence. So high EQ, high IQ, and with ability, right? These are the type of people you want to hire or the people you want to work with. And so he took the best of the best. And then it says, what did he do? And then ordered the king, the chief, chief of the officials, to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans, appointed them rations from the king's choice foods, wine, and to educate them. And so basically they're trying to indoctrinate them, right? And basically erase the ideas and the culture that they had. And they do that with giving them a new language, right? And language kind of almost defines who you are. Almost it defines your ethnicity, not ethnicity, but almost defines your race, right? Have you ever seen videos of like a Caucasian person who speaks perfectly fluent Cantonese? When they do that, I think they're like Chinese in the inside, right? It's really like a weird, like, whoa. And in that same way, I've had comments. I remember I went to, when I visited China, and then they're like, you don't speak Chinese? You don't read or write Chinese? You're not Chinese. And I was like, oh, okay. What am I? So all to say, yeah, language makes a huge, huge impact. And kind of defines who you are. And then they also gave them new food, right? Where everyone's a foodie these days. Yeah, food also gives you great pleasure and also identity. They gave them new education, new culture, right? Basically, they're trying to erase and give them new identities. And at this point, you know, if you're about to experience this, basically you've been abducted, you've been taken away. Oh, and also you're given new names. You're no longer Jojo. You're, can't even think of anything. Now you're Blaze. I don't know. Totally different name, right? If we suddenly was like, if Jojo suddenly introduced himself as Blaze, I don't know why that was the only name that could come up. Totally different personality, right? And so they gave them also new names. And so at this point, they're about abducted, taken over. It's probably like, you either follow us, return to Babylon, or you die. So no freedoms, no culture. You're probably going to panic, right? You're like pretty hopeless. So how could, at this point, the Jews even have any hope at all? I don't know. But they did receive a letter of encouragement. And that was from Jeremiah 29. I'm sure that chapter sounds familiar because we always make use of Jeremiah 29:11. So you can turn with me. I'm going to read the first half or so. So this is, if you've ever thought like, oh, what was the context of this super encouraging verse? This is it, right? It's a letter to the exiles because of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah, so Jeremiah the prophet shared this encouraging letter word, came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant which I commanded your forefathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice and do according to all which I command you, so you shall be my people and I will be your God, in order to confirm the oaths which There it is. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah, the queen mother, and the court officials, the princess of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so this is what the letter is instructing these exiles to do. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughter to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 7 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to know this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Yeah? So, I'm thinking maybe the Jews, Daniel and his three friends, you know, they have this information and it's encouraging them, like, hey, despite my circumstances, right, basically, God is still in control of things. They had that perspective that God was in control. And so one of the things, as I referenced, was they were instructed to eat the king's choice food. And so basically, this is the food that the king would eat. In some ways, the king is being really generous, right? Instead of just giving them the worst food, he's giving them his choice foods. And so in some ways, to reject this choice food would be a big slap in the face, right? Think of a host, they're giving you the best, and then you're like, actually, I'm a vegan. And they've cooked up like steaks and, you know, roast that they've spent hours cooking. So that's kind of what's happening. And the reason Daniel had an issue and his friends had an issue with these choice foods, some scholars say these foods might have been dedicated to idols, right? But then I've also read, oh, but then that doesn't explain how, like, I'm sure all the food, even the vegetables, were dedicated, maybe. So why is it that they could eat vegetables, right? But regardless, for sure, the food was not kosher. And so kosher being, there's, for the Jews, the meat needs to be slaughtered and prepared in a certain way that would deem it clean. And so, obviously, the Babylonians don't have these practices. So if the Jews were to eat this food, especially the meat, it would make them unclean. So at the very least, there's that reason for why Daniel and his friends refused the food. And why did they refuse the food specifically? And not, how about the other things, right? Well, even if they're given a new name, it doesn't change who they are, right? Even if they're given different thoughts and education, again, it doesn't change what they believe. All that doesn't change, but if they eat this unclean food, it does go against the relationship and what they believe in God. And so they had to stand up and resist what was going on. But what's interesting, what especially struck me, especially this, is how they resisted, right? They asked for permission, which is weird, right? You would think, even if I was thinking, if I was in their shoes, I would just do it maybe secretly, right? Just, oh, I just try to be cool and then, you know, try to not get in trouble. But instead, they asked for permission, right? It's almost like they just really didn't want to create conflict despite everything. And so, yeah, they asked for permission. And initially, the chief actually said no. He's like, why should I do this? It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to put my head out there for you, and if this doesn't work out, I'm going to get in trouble. And this is where, and the fact that he could even have this conversation just shows like he really had like the favor of the Lord, right? Because this guy, he didn't have to do Daniel any favors. And so he listened to him out, and then Daniel, in his wisdom, and I think this is like a supernatural wisdom, he said to him, like he didn't say, oh, okay, or say, well, I'm going to make things difficult for you since you said if you get in trouble off with your head, I'm going to start giving you trouble if you don't do this. There was no threats or anything. Instead, he said, how about this? Let's give it a test for 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, let's see what happens, right? In 7 days, if I'm not even healthier than all the other, I guess, Jewish captives, me and my friends, then we can call it off. And so he came up with this wise solution. And how do you know it's wise? Well, we also see the result. But in James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, this is what it says about wisdom from God. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So one of the verses in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, it's blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be known as the Son of God, right? And so what was Daniel's intent, right? His intent is not to cause trouble. His intent was to honor God. And so when he did it in the most wise and as a result, most, it says, peaceable way, so gentle, right? And as a result of his heart to honor God, we see what happened, right? A miracle happened. Well, there's a few miracles. I want to say there's three miracles. The first miracle was he got the favor from this chief to allow him and listen to him. Second was the wisdom he received. And third was the miracle of the result, right? Which is he just had vegetables and water. We know now that when you fast, sometimes you look better, right? Get out all the toxins. But you definitely do not increase in weight. I think for us, if that happened, a lot of us might not fast. There would be less incentive. But that's what happened. Just vegetables, just water, and they became even healthier. It says they got fatter, right? They looked even better. That was definitely supernatural. Okay, and just to wrap up, at the very end, the last verse, verse 21, it says, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Kind of like, huh? Why did they put that as the last part? The reason they put that as the last part is kind of the whole theme of this book and this chapter is really what was going on with Daniel is he trusted God, right? He trusted God through this whole process. And we see that even at the very end. Why? What does that mean? Daniel continued in the first year of Cyrus the king, because Cyrus was the king of Persia who ended up overtaking or destroying and conquering Babylon. So you see, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he thought, I raised up Daniel for my kingdom. But the point was, well, Daniel outlived King Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. So it wasn't really King Nebuchadnezzar who raised him up. It was God, right? God was always in control. God was the boss. I mean, we got to remember, even for our jobs, I know we say it, and we're like, oh yeah, God's my boss. But it's true. It really is true, right? And in this case, because of God raising up Daniel, he outlasted King Nebuchadnezzar and even went on, continued his job with Cyrus the king, right? Isn't that amazing, right? And I realize I skipped a really important part, right? And, you know, it was just a simple act that Daniel had of very peaceable, like, hey, do you think I could not eat these choice foods and eat veggies instead? And the result of that faithfulness was incredible favor that followed, where he ended up basically being the main advisor, right? He went from like a captive, and then he became the person where, you know, he found him and his three friends. It says that the things that they spoke were so wise and reasonable that King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't help but take that advice, right? And so, for us now, so what's the takeaway for us as Christians? And so I think you can kind of parallel some of this story with what's going on. But it's not a commentary on like the protests or anything, but it's a commentary for us as Christians, as followers of God. Where is our trust, right? Do you need to take matters into your own hand and make things happen, or you can really trust God with the little things? Just be faithful, right? In this story, all you see, they're just being faithful to God. And as a result of their faithfulness, God used them, right? Put them in the highest place to basically influence not just one kingdom, but two kingdoms. And so, as Mon invites us to worship, I think our big takeaway, and this applies to our circumstances in Hong Kong, especially with the craziness right now, it's not our primary focus to change the world, right? Because we can't. I know we want to be history makers, way makers, promise keepers, but we have to have the right perspective in it. It's not that we're going to change the world, right? It's trusting that Jesus will change the world. And sometimes our small actions of faithfulness, we don't see how it will amount to anything. But you just look to Daniel and see. And so as we worship, just have the mindset where, yeah, just, Lord, we trust you. Lord, I want to do something and I want to help. I want to impact. Maybe you have even grand ideas. Sometimes that happens to me. I have these grand ideas. Oh, maybe I can do this and organize this to do something. But is it really just you? Or is it God, right? We need to trust God. Trust God that, yeah, he can bring change, transformation, even in the bleakest and the most hopeless of times. Yeah, God is able. All right. If we could just gather at the front and then just sit in a circle, and we're just going to pray together, pray for Hong Kong. And just around this, if you guys could form a circle around this thing. Yeah, and so yesterday night was really bad, right? A little softer, Sophia. Yeah. And, you know, as you hear about what's going on and everything, I'm sure it impacts us, as this is Hong Kong's our home. And so I want to especially encourage... Well, so many chairs. I think we're okay. I want to especially encourage those of us, if you're feeling really stressed about things, and it's just like something like a knot in you, and whether it be anything, I really want to encourage you to grab the mic and pray out loud. Because there's something about when you pray out loud and you just align yourself and speak God's truth yourself, it does something in us. And it's, I mean, I don't think this is the point of praying, but one of the results is it's quite therapeutic, because suddenly you're, instead of in your thoughts and your feelings, you just align yourself with God's thoughts and feelings, and it gives you hope. So I'll start us off. Lord, we just offer you ourselves to you. We just want to pray for Hong Kong, Lord. Yesterday, things just keep escalating. Things seem to get worse and worse, Lord. But we don't look to our circumstances. We look to you, Lord. We look to you, Lord. And so, Lord, come upon our city. Come upon Hong Kong. Touch our people, touch the police. We pray that you would touch the protesters. You would touch the people with in influence, Lord. You know, we pray for even Carrie Lam and, you know, Chinese officials, Lord. We recognize that you are sovereign, and just as you were sovereign in the days of Daniel, you were in control, Lord. You're the one in charge, God. And so we just pray for your will to be done upon Hong Kong, and any influences that is bringing about more violence, more destruction, more craziness. We just pray against those plans in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we pray for your peace, shalom, and your kingdom come.
Thank you. Dear God, I want to pray for my relationship with my brother because of our different political views, tensions has been built up. Lord, I am reminded that why my mom named us Joseph and Benjamin in because she wants us to be as close as the brothers Joseph and Benjamin in Genesis. So God, I pray that both of me and my brother would soften our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you rebuild communications. I pray that there will be unity, will be rebuilt in my family. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just want to give you our city, Hong Kong. Lord, we just want to welcome you here, God. Always know that you're welcome in our home, God. And we just ask that you will come and show your face, God, your sovereignty, your order, your rulership, God. We worship you and we praise you, God, as we humble ourselves to pray before you. God, I pray, Jesus, that you'll hear our prayers, God. We thank you, God, that we have a God in whom we can hope on, Father, Lord God. We know that in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of bloodshed, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of anger and finger pointing, Father, Lord God, you have a plan. You have a plan, God. And I choose to trust in your plan, God. I choose to trust in your plan. And I'm not going to despair, Father, Lord God. We shall not look into our circumstances, but we will look unto you, the God who can change things, this is not a surprise to you, Father, Lord God. So we ask, Father, Lord God, that you will continue to just come and strengthen our hearts, strengthen our hope, God, strengthen our faith in you, Father, Lord God. Teach us how to pray, Father, Lord God. Strengthen the spirit men and women of people of Hong Kong who are praying, who are seeking, who are asking you, God, to do something, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that you will come and just pour down your grace and your mercy, God. May this time of trial and tribulation in our city be shortened, Father, Lord God. Come, Father, Lord God, come, 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 God. You are our only hope. You are our only hope, God. And I pray, Jesus, that you will continue to give us wisdom, God, as to how to go about in our days, what decisions to make, what are we going to choose to read, what are we going to choose to believe, what are we going to choose to speak out of our lips, God, what are we going to choose to do, God. I pray, Jesus, that come, Lord, that you will change our hearts and let us become lights in this place, God. And let us not be overcome by the circumstances and dictated by what's going on, Lord, but let us be the people that will walk against the current, Lord. I don't know how this is going to look like, God, but I pray, Lord, that you will start changing us, God, that we may be able to do something. Our hope is in you, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you, God, that you haven't given up on Hong Kong. Your eyes are on us, Lord, and you are for us, God. We thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and pray together. Pray for our city, pray for our home. I guess over the past couple of days, I'm just gonna mention it's been kind of crazy with the whole situation with the universities and parents just want their parents just want their kids to be safe. The kids just feel like they have no way out. And that some of them would rather give up their lives. They just feel really just pressured. But God, I know that you are good. We know that your plans were good, God. So we don't know what's going on. We don't know what the full picture is. We don't know the plan. We trust that you are good. And just as I was praying yesterday with Nikki, we're just chatting and praying and we don't see the full picture and you know, any ups and downs. Especially the downs in our lives. You know, we wonder why we lose loved ones or we just go through pains, but God, you are good. And I'm also encouraged by just all of us coming out to pray and seeing people opening Instagram accounts and just trying to share your goodness and share your gospel and just share hope. And it's sometimes just about the bigger picture and how through what we see as chaos and what we see as just things that seem out of control, God, you are in control. So, God, I just ask that you teach us how to pray. You teach us what to ask for. Pray for just peace to come upon Hong Kong. Things are going to be better than before. Things are going to be even more beautiful, and the more people get to know you, God, know your goodness, God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Brothers and sisters, I just want us to be encouraged by what Paul wrote in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Father, just pray, Father, that we're not praying against individuals. We're not praying against people. Father, we're praying against the enemy, the enemy's schemes, Father. We recognize the enemy's schemes as they are, Father. We bring them to the light. And we know that darkness will never win against light. Light will always be victorious. So, Father, we declare your victory over Hong Kong. We know that you're already victorious over Hong Kong. To you, nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new about what's happening in Hong Kong right now. It's very saddening. It's a period in which there will be a Kairos moment, as we prayed over men's prayer yesterday, and that this is the moment where the church needs to rise up and intercede for our brothers and sisters and for the people in Hong Kong, for our neighbors in Hong Kong. And there is nothing new under the sun in the sense that, Father, you will always come out victorious. And Father, we proclaim your will over Hong Kong right now. We proclaim that your sovereign hand is over Hong Kong, and that the church needs to rise up and understand its role in what's happening right now. And its role right now, first and foremost, is to pray for our brothers and sisters, to bring hope to them, to remind them that what they should be clinging on to is not the false hope that this world offers, but the true hope that can only come through the cross. Father, as Paul says, that we are given the words in our mouth to proclaim the gospel boldly as we are in chains and ambassadors for this gospel. So Lord, let us be that light. Bring out these enemy schemes from the darkness and bring that to light so that we can bring truth to a period where there's a lot of lies in this world. So we pray for that encouragement. We pray for your conviction. We pray for your power to come through us by the power of the Spirit today, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God, and thank you for this time of prayer, Lord. And we just want to fix our eyes on you, Lord. Align ourselves with what you want, God. And we just surrender what we want, and we just desire what you want. And we do that because we trust you, Lord. We trust that you have our best interests. You have the best interests of Hong Kong. You have the best interests for this situation. And your result is the best, Lord. It's much better than anything we could accomplish in our natural. What we desire is, and what we realize at this point, the only thing that's left is your hand, your supernatural to come. And Lord, would you use us as a community, as a church, to do your will, Lord, that we would be obedient in the small things, Lord. Just obedient. When you tell us, when you direct us, we would obey. But help us to be in that mindset, Lord, where we could even hear your voice, Lord. And so we just surrender, we just die to ourselves and our will, Lord, so that we could really not just accomplish, but even know and hear your will. And we pray for just more of your gifts. Release the spiritual gifts upon us, especially the gift of prophecy and wisdom, knowledge, healing, Lord. Release it in Jesus' name. We ask that we would be able to make use of these gifts to share your love, Lord. That even, yeah, as we prophesy and point and maybe notice stresses or personal stresses or even physical injuries upon people, Lord, that would just be a sign to people of your love, that you're real. You're real, Lord. And in this, especially in this moment, Lord, there's such a need for you, Lord. Yet, without you, Lord, we don't know how to get through. We don't know how to communicate that need, Lord. So would you lead us, Lord? We so dearly need to just hear your voice, be directed. Even the very words, even the introduction or icebreaker that we initiate with people, Lord. We need you to direct us, God. And we pray for these Kairos moments. We pray for these opportunities to come. And we also pray for courage and boldness, Lord, to step forth and move, God, because it's not about us, God. It really is not about us. It's about you. It's about Hong Kong. And so, yeah, if we're going to be embarrassed, if our pride is going to get shot, even if we get rejected, Lord, just as you did, Jesus, we'll do the same. We thank you, and just pray for your covering and protection over everyone here, that we could still feel motivated and with purpose in what you've called us to do today, because you're our boss, Lord. You're our boss. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, please continue praying.